Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Radical Compliance podcast. I'm your host, Matt Kelly, and today we have a special guest, Paul Sobel, the new chairman of COSO. For those few of you who may not be familiar with COSO already, this is the nonprofit group that publishes risk and control frameworks. Most famous is the COSO framework for internal control, last updated in 2013. That is probably what most publicly traded companies out there are using for your Sarbanes-Oxley compliance. COSO also had the Enterprise Risk Management Framework that it overhauled and published last year. And COSO, I know, does have a range of other frameworks and guidance as well. Paul is the new chairman. He was appointed earlier this month in February. He is also the head of internal audit at Georgia-Pacific since 2011 and has been a longtime leader at the Institute of Internal Audit, serving on its board of directors. And I would be remiss if I did not note that Paul replaces Bob Hirth, who was the chairman of COSO from 2013 until this month. And we do all owe Bob a thank you for his service as well. All that said, Paul, welcome, and thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. First question, then. Why become chair of COSO? You've already got a very good gig at Georgia Pacific. So what was the appeal here?
Well, I've always had a yearning for learning and appreciated organizations who develop thought leadership and guidance. Mm-hmm. And of course, COSO is widely recognized for its thought leadership. Now, I'm also a believer in paying it forward, which is why I've written books, published articles, and spoken at conferences. I think it's important to pay back to the profession with any insights I've gained over time. Now, frankly, being chairman of COSO was never really an aspiration. However, when COSO announced the search for a new chairman, I started to consider whether this might be the right time in my career to give back in a little different way. Mm-hmm. I'd had some involvement with COSO throughout my career, but my participation on the advisory council for the update of the COSO ERM framework gave me new insights into how the board operated. It also allowed me to gain a greater understanding on the important role that COSO plays in improving organizational performance and governance. So that experience, as well as my many years dealing with risk management, internal control, compliance, and fraud, caused me to believe that I could help COSO advance its mission, which is focused on providing thought leadership and guidance on ERM, internal control, and fraud deterrence. Finally, I've had experience working in the corporate world with a public accounting firm, and I've co-authored a textbook, so I felt like I could relate to the unique perspectives of all five sponsoring organizations. Now, as you know, the COSO chairman is not a full-time job, so I'll continue my role here at Georgia Pacific, and I'm very fortunate to have my company's support on this. They clearly understand the important work and contributions made by COSO since it was founded some 33 years ago.
So let me ask a little about what you would like to do with COSO right now, because as I said, they already did two big projects in 2013 with an internal control, 2017 with ERM. And I know that you've already said one or two places, you've given some interviews and some statements that you want COSO now to focus more on guidance to help people understand the big stuff, the frameworks that are already out there, rather than launch more ambitious projects. But give me your own perspective on, you know, what do you mean and what do you think for the next 3 or so years that you're going to be chairman? Like, what are you looking to achieve?
Well, as you indicated, you know, the last 8 years with COSO have been heavily focused on updating those two major frameworks. COSO has issued some thought papers and guidance during that time, but they're really the primary efforts have been on the framework updates. So my expectation is that probably for my next 3 years, we'll see a bit of a moratorium on big frameworks, still possible, but more likely, this will be the opportunity to focus on guidance and thought leader papers that will really help, as you indicated, kind of expand the knowledge and understanding around internal and control in the ERM frameworks. So first, my immediate priority is to sustain the great work begun under Bob Hirth as chairman. The updated ERM framework has only been out since September, and I suspect most have read the press releases and probably the executive summary, but there's so much rich information in the framework itself that I think we really need to do more to get information out there to help people understand the key concepts surrounding the five components and 20 principles in that framework. I will let you know a compendium of examples is likely to be issued in the coming weeks, which will be a first step in that direction. Mm-hmm. But I think you have many other opportunities for practical application guidance to help organizations operationalize the key concepts in that framework. Now, the internal control framework, of course, was updated in 2013, so there's more experience in applying the components and principles in that framework. However, we keep hearing that application of the framework in demonstrating effective internal controls over financial reporting continues to be somewhat burdensome for organizations and their public accountants as well. Not really sure what the solution is there, but I suspect we'll be evaluating whether further guidance from COSO can help address some of those concerns. And then finally, I mean, I'll be working with the COSO board to identify any gaps in current thought leadership with respect to COSO's key mission areas, which are risk management, internal control, fraud prevention, and governance. That may involve updates to previously issued guidance, could be new thought leadership needed to address some of the current and emerging risks in today's world.
So let me ask a little about how companies should be trying to put the frameworks to good use, specifically maybe the ERM framework, now that I'm listening to your comments. I know that, how would you like the frameworks to support governance and board level decisions and discussions? Because if we don't get that right, where the C-suite understands, okay, now I get how COSO frameworks can really help us at the strategic level. If we don't get that right, then the frameworks seem like they might slip into just something that internal audit uses to develop and test control activities. And, it becomes a smaller thing. And I know that's probably not where you want the frameworks to go. What's your take on how to make sure that companies really know what they should be doing with these big frameworks to get the most bang for their buck?
Well, Matt, your observation is right on target. Without strong governance, these frameworks can't possibly ensure organizations are going to optimally improve performance. And the key is, as I think you alluded to, is helping boards and the C-suite recognize that these frameworks need to operate more at a strategic level than a control activity level. Now, actually, both frameworks already have some pretty good governance guidance in them. The ERM framework in particular, the first component covers governance and culture. And there's five very relevant principles that really apply to the boards and the C-suite. And the control environment component in the internal control framework kind of embodies some similar principles as well. So I feel like the foundation is already there for effective governance. We just need to make sure that organizations are really looking at, understanding, and embracing those components within the two frameworks. Now, there may be value in pulling some of those principles out into a standalone governance framework or some other form of guidance. There are some significant challenges in doing that because there are already many governance regulations in place around the world. Mm-hmm. But effective governance is part of the COSO mission. So I think that's something that we'll be evaluating as a board here in the coming year or so, and really determine how COSO can best weigh in from a governance perspective.
This is just an additional question that popped into my head, but how much do you think boards are, I guess, struggling with governance? I think all of them would like to do it well. I think they'd all like to do it in a more disciplined fashion. But in your observation, do you think that they really know how to get that done?
Well, that's a good question. And I guess it's probably just more my theoretical perspective on it than direct observation.
Sure.
But there's certainly been guidance issued. Blue Ribbon Commission has put out things from NACD and other forums on what good governance really is. I think there's been more attention to governance in the last 3 to 6 years, so I think it's probably getting better. But I'm not sure that there is really a central place, a framework, so to speak, where a board can say, "Hey, let's take a step back and really evaluate. I think we're doing well. I think we're doing everything we're supposed to do. But how do we kind of self-assess and make sure that we truly are doing all the things that would be considered best practice?" And that's where, again, it's possible that COSO might be able to weigh in and compile some of the very good research and recommendations that other organizations have put out. and then link it with these governance-related components in the existing frameworks that'll possibly help boards continue to move forward in providing good governance.
Okay. Now, I did have a couple of specific subjects I also wanted to touch on, first being cybersecurity. And I know right now everybody is in a high panic about cybersecurity risk. Then they typically will blurt out NIST framework or maybe COBIT if they're especially thoughtful. What would you like to see COSO do around guidance for cybersecurity risks specifically?
Well, clearly cyber risk is an area of importance to every organization. As you mentioned, others have issued guidance around it, such as NIST and COBIT, I think is an interesting angle as well. To me, the key is applying the principles from an ERM framework to those critical risk areas. So the COSO framework is designed to be applied both enterprise-wide as well as at a kind of a deeper level to categories of risk such as cyber. Mm-hmm. So at a minimum, I think organizations can use the ERM framework to structure their approach to identifying, assessing, and responding to cyber risks. Then they can marry that up with maybe some of the more specific guidance contained in NIST or COBIT, or there's other similar sources out there to develop a more targeted approach for dealing with cyber risks. It's possible COSO will look at guidance on how to apply the framework specifically to risk categories like cyber. We'll first have to look, though, to see what else is already out there. We don't want to be redundant. And maybe there's a way that we can partner with other organizations on how to use the COSO ERM framework to effectively address specific risk areas such as cyber risk.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I've read some of the internal control framework trying to think about how that would apply to vendor management risk, which I suspect eventually cybersecurity risk is going to become vendor risk since that's really where the breaches happen. And I know that there is a small school of thought out there that you could apply the internal control framework to cybersecurity and it's not that bad. You know, it a lot of the points of focus, they fit, they make sense.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key is that what you want to do is use one of these frameworks to apply to your particular situation. That's where principles and points of focus can be quite helpful. It's not a cookie cutter or checklist approach, but I think it can help management and the board organize their thoughts on how to best deal with these types of risks, which are very real today, and who knows what they'll be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And then the second subject I wanted to talk about was sustainability. And I have seen the recent tie-ins between COSO and the World Business Council for Sustainable Development. You are guys are trying to cooperate there. Are we going to see more effort for COSO to address sustainability standards? And again, I know that there is the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, and there are other groups out there that are doing things similar to how cybersecurity has multiple frameworks now, too. We have it in sustainability. But what do you see trying to go forward there with COSO?
Well, this is actually a very good real-life example of what we were just discussing regarding cyber risk. In this case, the WBCSD and COSO are two organizations that are partnering to provide guidance on how to apply the COSO ERM framework to effectively identify, assess, and manage environmental, social, and governance-related risks, referred to as ESG risks. So let me state for the record, COSO is not a standard-setting body. We'll leave that to regulators, SASB, GRI, and similar organizations. But as ESG-related risks are becoming more widespread, organizations really need to ensure they have processes in place for identifying, assessing, and managing those complex entity-level risks and opportunities. We believe that ERM is the most powerful way to achieve that. And as with any group of risks, integrating ESG-related risks into ERM, we think, enables organizations ultimately to realize long-term value. Now, the guidance you referred to is currently out for public exposure. It's not finalized yet. So if people are interested in learning more about that, I encourage them to visit the COSO website where they can download the guidance. And since it isn't an exposure period, they can certainly provide input and response to that exposure draft as well. Now, I can't really predict what future partners we might have, similar to the COSO WBCSD model. But I think that model is a really good example of how organizations can benefit from joint guidance, focusing on applying the ERM framework to specific risk areas. The key point, of course, is ideally, COSO ERM can be used as the foundation for all risk management activities.
All right. Well, Paul, that's all the time we have today, but you covered plenty of ground for us and gave us a lot to think about. So thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for having me. You asked some insightful questions, and hopefully your listeners will find these answers to be helpful as they think about how they're going to be tackling risks and financial reporting in the future.
All right. And again, everybody, that was Paul Sobel talking with us. He is the new chairman of COSO, who took office this month. And he's been talking with us today about his hopes for COSO and where he'd like to take it in internal control and risk frameworks for the next several years. That is all for this podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Radical Compliance. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join me again next time.